As promised, I'm live in the studio with Albuquerque singer-songwriter Marion Carrillo.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
You're good with the name, that too. That's real smooth. I like it. Thank you. I appreciate that.
The last place I lived before I moved to Albuquerque was Spain.
So you got it down then. Yeah.
Yeah. Accustomed to the Spanish names pronunciation for sure.
Perfect.
So you want to start us off with a song before we jump into any chat?
Yeah, sounds good. I'm going to do you a song. It's kind of about my family, and it's got the kind of the fanciest guitar work that I have. So, yeah, it's called The Hard Way, and this is it. My old man never had an easy go. He was the second born of seven kids in old New Mexico. He lost a brother and a sister before I was born. And for all that pain, my father's heart was always kind and warm. Mother was born on a West Texas plain. The youngest of six, she was too much to contain. She lost her mother at the tender age of three. The splintered family taught her how to love, and she gave it all to me. I didn't make it easier, looking back, that's all to say. 'Cause any time I've had a choice, I always took the hard way. Every promise I knew I wouldn't keep, and every poison field that you've helped me to reap. Thank you. 'Cause I know Mom and Daddy did your best. In my touch of fire put your patience to the test. Well, I'm impulsive and unpredictable on my best day. Through all the good advice and the endless love, I've always took the hard way. And I didn't make it easier, looking back, that's all to say. Any time I've had a choice, I always took the hard way. Any time I've had a choice, I always took the hard way.
Really great. Thank you, Marion.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
Yeah, so I was going to ask you a little bit about your approach when it comes to songwriting.
Sure.
Do you tend to write the tune first or the lyrics?
I feel pretty strongly about my ability to write. and I still feel fairly insecure about my guitar playing.
Mm-hmm.
So most of the time I'm coming from a place of lyrics first, and I'll get a whole song written out before I start putting any kind of instruments or music to it at all.
And that one was The Hard Way?
The Hard Way.
The Hard Way.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming that was like pretty accurately autobiographical?
Yeah, fully. Yeah. 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 The first time I played it for anyone, I played it for my family. And I asked them, like, hey, is this too personal? Am I sharing too much? Would you prefer I did not play this? And they were super supportive. They're like, no, that's fantastic. We love being written about.
Yeah. Yeah. Those kind of dual urges to keep your life private, but mm-hmm. also to be flattered and be memorialized or remembered in song.
Yeah. I wrote that sitting on like the shore of a little stream in the Pecos, and I'd been out there fly fishing, and mm-hmm. I'd just been thinking about my family. And it just kind of started to come to me, and it took me a couple of weeks to figure it out. But once I did, I felt very confident about it.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I was thinking about those kind of like difference between the way I would write like a stand-up comedy bit
mm-hmm.
versus like a song. Like it's like that, you know, that my dad had it very hard when he was very young, and that made him like kind for the rest of his life.
Yeah,
that's like, that could be like the premise to a stand-up bit, or like as a part of like the background information.
Yeah,
but it's
yeah.
not like a focus, because it's not really like, it's not funny, you right. know what I
right.
mean?
Right. Oh yeah, absolutely, man. Absolutely. Yeah,
it's neither yeah. like, and it's also not like over maudlin, like sad, just excessively sad, you know what yeah. I mean? Like it's,
I try to avoid that when I can.
Yeah, I mean,
a
yeah.
couple of them are just that, they're just unbelievably sad, and I don't play those out.
Oh really?
Yeah, I keep that to myself, you know.
Okay.
I got a whole stack that I just, I'll sometimes play alone.
Yeah,
but they, you know, they won't see the light of day.
Yeah,
unless someone goes through my notebooks when I'm dead,
right?
At which point I hope they don't see the light of day.
Right, right. Yeah, maybe just the people that they were about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, that can get dangerous too. Sometimes you don't want to play it for the person it's written for.
Right.
Or don't tell them, maybe, that yeah. it's written for them. But, yeah.
Yeah.
I
yeah.
love doing it, though, man. You know, I take a few weeks sometimes. Some of them are real fast. The first song I ever wrote, that came out in, I don't know, it took me an hour,
mm-hmm.
hour and a half. I was just sitting.
The first song?
Yeah, it's not, I don't think it's my best.
Okay.
I love playing it. People love hearing it. They ask for it all the time when I'm out. It's called RV Built for Two.
Will you play that one next?
Sure. Yeah. It's like a fun love song about for my family, for my
okay.
parents.
Okay. Know,
they've been huge in my life. They've been massively supportive of me through every good and bad decision I've ever made. They have just stood by me.
I feel you there.
Yeah. And, you know, so a lot of the stuff I write comes from a place of love and appreciation for my family and the people around me.
Mm-hmm.
And really, there's usually some kind of core of redemption
mm-hmm.
throughout the songs. That's a major theme in a lot of what I do as well. But yeah, I'll be happy to play that for you if you want to hear it.
Yeah, let's check it out.
Okay. So there's a story to it, and it's when my parents retired, I told them that they needed to buy an RV, because as far as I understand it, when you retire, you either move to Arizona or you buy an RV.
I tried to get my dad to buy an RV, and he did not do it.
Did he move to Arizona?
No.
Okay, good. Then you're one of the lucky ones. But I told them, you know, like, I'm not going to Arizona, so you guys need to buy an RV. And they refused. So a few years ago, I was in Italy. I was doing, like, workaway stuff. And I was sitting on this back porch, and I sat down. It was, like, a Tuesday night. And I sat down, and I wrote this song about my parents taking off in an RV and traveling around the country together. And I promise this is true. The very next morning, I had an email from my mom saying that they had bought an RV and they were going to travel around the country. And it took me like half the day to get my jaw up off the floor. And, you know, I didn't know if it was psychic or magic. I don't even know if I'm lying about it anymore, but this is that song. My mother hasn't seen my smile in 7 months or so. I told her I was on my way, she never thought I'd go.
When I was young, she told me, son, the world is full of sights. And 20-some years later now, she's finally seen the light. Hey, mama's running off in an RV bell for two, where there's a couch, a bed, and a radio, and a window with a view. Well, there's nothing she won't drive on past and nothing she can't do. Hey, mama's running off in an RV bed for two. Well, papa, he took off with her. He knows what's good for him. Well, it took a year to plan it. They couldn't do it on a whim. The redwoods to the bayou and the east on to the west. Well, he drives her coast to coast because he loves her best. Hey, mama's running off in an RV bell for two, where there's a couch, a bed, and a radio, and a window with a view. Well, there's nothing she won't drive on past and nothing she can't do. And now mama's running off in an RV bell for two. Hey, mama's running off in an RV bell for two, where there's a couch, a bed, and a radio, and a window with a view. There's nothing she won't drive on past and nothing she can't do. Now mama's running off in an RV bell for two. Hey, mama's running off in an RV bell for two. Oh, hey, mama's running off in an RV bell for two.
Like it.
Thanks, man. Thanks. It's fun. You know, it's a fun, it's a happy song. You know, people ask for it pretty much anytime I'm out playing. That's how they want me to finish up, you know.
And you're playing in Santa Fe next?
Yeah, Thursday night. I'm at the Noisy Water Winery just off the plaza. I can't remember the street it's on. But yeah, I'll be there 6 to 8, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, it's fun. It's a really cool venue. I don't drink, but apparently their wine is very good. So
yeah, I kind of have to rely on that too.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like the stand-up, you know, not being anybody's favorite kind of marketing thing, like, you know, it's potentially going to cost you customers as much as it may bring people out, and comedians are broke, so they're not buying that much beer. But I also don't drink at all, and I've been told, like, after performing someplace like weekly for like several months, somebody would be like, you know, their beer there is terrible, and I'm like, no, I did not know that.
thank you for informing me.
No, but it's a little late, but yeah, we'll move on to the next joint, I guess.
Yeah, right.
Well, very cool. I'm trying to remember my other question that we talked about beforehand.
Yeah, you'd asked me about the editing process.
Yes.
That I go through.
Yeah, you kind of said 90 minutes for the RV built for two.
Yeah, well, and that was, you know, I just threw that together. It was so fast. It just came out of me. And there's been a couple that have been similar to that. But the songs that I'm, like, proud of, you know, the ones I really enjoy playing out, those ones took a time. You know, and some of them took a few days, some of them took a few weeks. I've got one that I just premiered last night, I think. Yeah, that has taken me probably 6 weeks or more. And then I've got some lyrics that I just haven't finished, you know, and they're a couple of years old. I've got this line that I've been working with, you smell like a memory that haunts me.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been working on that since I was in Portugal like 3 years ago. And it's kind of this, it's always just right out of reach. There's always almost a song there, And I think it's good. It keeps me chasing after something, you know, the whole time.
Do you know about Proust, In Memory of Lost Time?
I don't think I do.
Okay. Please, so there's a whole book about, like, his perspective on it. This guy, this author, Jonah Lehrer, wrote this nonfiction book called Proust, who was a novelist, a mm-hmm. fiction writer, was a neuroscientist. And it was about how, like, the insights seen in fiction and in art mm-hmm. into the way that our minds are structured are sometimes, like, many decades ahead of their time. Yeah. And so the thing is that what we wouldn't have known until we, like, developed neuroscience and, like, were successfully dissecting human brains and identifying different parts and functions and stuff like that is that smell is more deeply connected to memory
yeah.
than any other sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard about that, yeah.
Yeah, so it seems like that may be why
there's something. I've been sitting on that line. I was in Portugal. I can't remember where I was, but a woman walked past me and her perfume just threw me back in time to some other time in my life, and I've been just stuck thinking about that ever since. You know, it's just, like I said, it's always just out of reach. Like, I can see the song just through the mist, but I can't get a hold of it, you know?
Yeah, that's the thing about scent that's interesting, is that it's, like, harder to describe, mm-hmm. right? So it's like you can identify it when you are smelling it,
yeah,
but recreating it when you are not experiencing it yeah. is next to impossible.
Could never tell you what it was.
Yeah, yeah. Unlike, you know, describing a face, you got a sketch yeah. artist or, like, those kinds of things. Where...
And that's, like, in songwriting, you know, a lot of what I personally try to focus on is imagery. Certainly as my, like, writing has matured, obviously the RV song doesn't have a ton of that, but, like, I've really tried to focus on creating a scene or a story for a person. Like, I try to do a lot of storytelling. Guy Clark was a big inspiration for me. Todd Snyder, John Prine, Gillian Welch. All of these people have really contributed to, Dan Fogelberg in particular. All these people have really contributed to who I am as a musician. And all of them are storytellers. Their songs are these, many of them are these narratives, you know, like Sam Stone from John Prine, probably the saddest song ever written. And it is just an incredible story, even if it wasn't set to fantastic music at the same time. And all of that's done through the imagery. And yeah, so when I think about the way a thing smells or the color of a shirt, you know, the scene around me, that's usually where I try to formulate the scene in the song itself.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, do you want to give us another one or two more? What do you think?
Sure. Last night I premiered this song called the Talking Boomer Blues.
I don't know what I did with my bag.
Oh, I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, then I won't do that because I need the harmonica for that.
Oh, okay.
But I'll do you something else. Absolutely. I just finished recording an album recently, and hopefully that'll be coming out. I'd like it by the end of the year, but the guy who is producing it and mastering it for me, Hurt Mesa Music up in Las Vegas, New Mexico, fantastic people, and I've just told him take as long as he wants. I want it to come out right. So my hope is that this will be the first single off of that, and it's called Peace. Well, if I find peace for the day I die, gonna hang my head and surely cry. It'll be a home with love and light. If I find peace for the day I die, I know the man that I wanna be. I see him now and I believe. He's good and kind and proud and free. Hey, that's a man that I wanna be. With a rambling soul, I hope it's true.
that I can love and still leave you. I feel lost when I try to stay, but my rambling soul, it guides the way. And if I find peace for the day I die, gonna hang my head and surely cry. It'll be a home with love and light, if I find peace for the day I die. And if I find peace for the day I die, gonna rest my body by my lover's side, my soul rest in shades of blue. If I find peace, it'll be with you. If I find peace, it'll be with you. If I find peace, it'll be with you.
Very cool.
Thanks. If you want me to, I can do the Boomer Blues. It just won't have the harmonica in it.
I mean, yeah, no problem for me either way. I hadn't heard it, so.
Yeah, let's do it. So this is a song, I don't know if you know about the Talking Blues, what they are.
Yeah, I think I might have one lined up later in the set, actually.
Oh, cool. So, yeah, so it's a fairly rigid, like, form of songwriting, right? You rhyme 2 to 6 lines, 4 lines, something like that, and then you have a few unrhymed lines as well at the end. And so I took this on as, like, a challenge to myself to write. I wanted to write a talking blues song. And I ended up with something about, like, a guy from the boomer generation doing his best. And kind of talking about, you know, growing up and growing into to a person now.
And if you're just joining us, this is Spoken Word Hour. I'm Marty Adam Smith, live in the studio with Albuquerque singer-songwriter Marion Carrillo, who's got the Talking Boomer Blues up for us next.
Thanks.
Well, I was born back in 53, just my mother, my brother, my pa and me. Dad knew war, he understood salvation, but he never understood my generation. We were boomers, Ed Sullivan, rock and roll, Star Trek, we had it all. Dad didn't care much for the rock and roll. He said, that music, boy, it's a threat to your soul. And one day I brought home the ultimate villain, a writer by the name of Bob Dylan. And friends, let me tell you, a hard rain did fall. You could say I needed shelter from the storm. I was 16 in 69. That's the year we left those Reds behind. We put a man on the moon and our pride did soar until we remembered the Vietnam War. And, well, we'll just gloss over that. I mean, we've all seen Platoon, right? Now, 74, man, that was a year. Patty Hearst gave us all something to fear. Watergate showed us Nixon's folly, and Foreman was knocked out by Muhammad Ali. Oh, friends, that year did not float at all, but I'll tell you, it sure did sting. Now, I finished school with a business degree, and I thought, Wall Street, friend, that's the place for me. Tie-dye turned into business ties, and profits flew to record highs. And I was making money just hand over fist. And before too long, you know, I could not resist the American dream. A wife, white picket fence, and 2.5 kids. Well, the kids grew up, and, well, that was tough.
Now they're into all kinds of stuff. One's a gay, one's a Buddhist, and the half a kid, well, he's a partial nudist. And I won't pretend to understand these kids today and all their plans. My father wouldn't have tried, and on that you can bet, but my kids helped me with my internet. And friends, there is no such thing as a truer love than that. That is the purest form there.
Well, that got me laughing. Thank you for that.
You're very welcome.
Marion. I had my mic down, so I didn't get my laughter broadcasting out, which is good, because
that's
then
good.
I'll be
that's
able to rebroadcast that later without
please do,
the
by
inexplicable
all means.
Interruptions when you're not live. It's like, why is somebody laughing in the studio? Well,
I'm glad you liked it, man. Yeah, I played it for a bunch of boomers last night. First time playing it out in
yeah.
front of anyone.
Yeah.
And I asked them all afterwards, like, you know, so how'd I do? Like, did I correctly encompass your generation?
Yeah.
And they all gave me the thumbs up, so that feels good. I mean, small sample size, but I'll take it.
Right, you know? Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. Well, where's somewhere that if they're not going to catch the gig off the plaza in Santa Fe, that listeners can find out more about your work or the name of that upcoming album or those kinds of things?
The upcoming album is, I think it's going to be called Full Glory, but we'll see about that. I think that's the right name. Otherwise, anyone can find me on social media, Marion Carrillo, MarionCarrillo. That's like, I've got the Facebook page up there. I've got an Instagram they can follow. Anything like that. And I'm always posting the shows up there all the time. Yeah, and I fairly regularly play at the Blue Grasshopper. I don't know what the next night is that I'm up there, but on the 26th? 20, I don't know if that's accurate or not, but anyway.
Which Blue Grasshopper?
I think that's going to be the Albuquerque Blue Grasshopper.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which is on the far west side or the north?
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, so there's the downtown one now. That's Corso Montano.
Corso Montano.
And then I also play at the Rio Rancho one fairly often.
Ah, gotcha.
Okay. I got a little helper over in the corner reading dates to me from the calendar.
Well, very cool.
But yeah, so anyone can find me on social media, and I always love talking about craft, so anybody wants to get together and chat about songwriting or just get together and play, this is so much fun for me, man. I don't want to do anything else.
Nice. Yeah, I feel you. Well, thanks again so much for coming in, Marigón.
Yeah.
This has been a live segment on Spoken Word Hour. I'm host Marty Adam Smith.